The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
To say thank you for your loving kindness, to say thank you for your tender mercy, to say thank you for the victories. Lord, we know that we got the victory when Jesus was raised from the dead back on Calvary's Hill. But every day, miracles and manifestations of your power, your goodness, your kindness, your grace, and your mercy we are discovering day by day. Lord, life is a gift. So we thank you for life, a portion of health and strength, and for things being as well as they are. We also are grateful for everything that you've brought us over, you've brought us through. Some stuff you just kept from us, and some stuff you just kept us through. And for that, we say thank you. Father God, as we continue in this new year, we recognize that it's not going to be just like any other year. You are a God of just awesome. As a matter of fact, you can do exceedingly abundantly, but we even ask or even think. So we want you to just do exceeding in our lives. Speaking to somebody's heart right now who is seeking you, Lord, from the youngest to the eldest. Even the young Xavier, dear God, he can't speak a word, but Lord, when he utters, and when we hear that sound, we know that that's life, and we say thank you. Lord, even as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, and speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, we want to all decrease in this house, and you just increase in this house. Fill up this room with your glory, with the Shekinah glory cloud, that we won't even be able to utter a word. We just want to hear from you. It's in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, is from whence the word of God will come. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, is from whence the word of God will come. So as the Lord has given me a word for us on this new year, and as he been looking at some different things, and so the message today, I won't be able to conclude. So it'll be a short series, so it'll be today, and we'll conclude it on next week. But it'll be something that we use to get us ready for for just what we talked about, that we don't know, because it still does not yet appear what God has in store for us. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 43, verse 19, there are three translations that I want to read. First, the New King James Version says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." The New Living Translation translates that verse like this: "For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it?" Speak in this house, dear God. "I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." But there's one more. As I was praying in my preparation, there's a translation called The Voice. The Voice says it like this: "Watch closely. I am preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak, and you're about to see it. I am preparing a way through the desert. Waters will flow where there had been none." Somebody should receive that in your life right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Receive it right now in the name of Jesus. On today, January the 6th, 2019, we want to consider the subject. Matter of fact, do me a favor and tell somebody to your left and to your right. Tell them, neighbor, encounter the possibilities. Tell somebody else. Tell them, neighbor, encounter the possibilities. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Encounter the possibilities. The possibilities. There's a story that I want to tell Some of you, I believe, have probably prayed this prayer not once, maybe more than once. Dear Lord, so far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm thankful for that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from that moment on, I'm going to need a lot more help. Amen. Our theme this year is 365 days of possibilities. Matter of fact, it's on the front of your bulletin. It's going to be at the top of every one of the pastor's pens that the Lord instructs me to write on this year. For I just believe that with God, this year could be phenomenal if we would dare to encounter the possibilities. In fact, going forward, that phrase, encounter the possibilities, is the short tagline that we will use when we are planning, when we are promoting our services, our activities, and whatever it is that we have going on here at the church. And whenever we even invite people to come out, we want to encounter the possibilities. Listen. Different ministers of God have spoken at different times about a new beginning. And a lot of us are familiar with Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, where God says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Or as the Voice translates it, "Watch closely, I am preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak." But here's the question. The question is, how many of us can say that we have truly experienced a new beginning in our walk with God, our family, our career, our health, our finances, etc.? Can we truly say that we have experienced a new beginning in our church? I believe the strong manifestation for us probably goes back to our church anniversary with Pastor Jonathan Brown at the banquet, amen. Amen. Then our church anniversary Sunday worship with Pastor Damon Lynch III. I believe it continued to build with our worship service, with our worship experience here with the pastor's anniversary with Bishop Cornelius Henderson. Then I've been letting you know that personally God spoke to me at our Christmas fellowship from the book of Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. And then on last Sunday, come on somebody, y'all don't hear me in here. On last Sunday, the last Sunday of the year, what an awesome power of the manifestation of the glory of God. There is a big difference between God saying he wants to do something and we actually experience what God says he wants to do. I say it again. I say it again. I say it again. I say it again. I'm grateful for my young people who came up because I need them to make sure that they hear this as a body. Amen. Because even they themselves soon going to go back to school, and they're going to hit those struggles. We need to make sure that we got them covered. Amen? Amen? There's a big difference between God saying that he wants to do something and we actually experience what God says he wants to do. And that's why today and all throughout the year, we want to talk about and share encountering the possibilities. Similar to last Sunday, the Holy Spirit is going to convict and challenge you and you and you and you and you and you, all of you and me, hear me today, to no longer just hear messages about a new beginning or God doing a new thing. He doesn't want us to hear those messages the same way we've heard them in previous years. But what he wants us to do is actually experience and testify of a new beginning, not only starting this year, but ongoing. As a result, the Holy Spirit is leading me on this first Sunday of 2019 to talk about the hindrances to a new beginning, or the hindrances to encountering the possibilities. So what I want to do is take some time, if you will, to look at a people that God desired a new beginning for. A people he told about a new beginning, but who unfortunately never experienced that new beginning that God had planned for them. Now, I'm not going to read all of these scriptures, but if you're taking notes, I want you to write these down. First of all, write down Exodus chapter 1, 8 through 14. Write down Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. And write down Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. I'll say them again. Exodus 1, 8 through 14. Exodus 2, 23 through 25. And Exodus 6, 6 through 8 will be the background of this message. Many of you Bible readers are familiar. Matter of fact, there was a lot of time spent in Sunday school last quarter of 2018 in the book of Exodus. Amen. And in those passages, they describe what the Israelites had been facing for many years. Teach, Holy Ghost. They had been slaves for many years. They had been under a yoke of the Egyptian rulership for many years. They had lived in a land that wasn't theirs for many years. They had been going through pain, oppression, and severe hardship for many years. Their lives had been bitter for many years. They had lost their joy. They weren't happy. And they used to cry and groan in misery for many years. God saw all of this, and he wanted to give them a new beginning. He wanted to change their situation. He wanted to move them, hear me today, from the level they had been on for years to a better and more glorious level. If you're taking notes, write this down. Keep in mind, when you go back and you do your reading, when you go back and you do your studying, when you go back and look for a life application, the situation or the level that the Israelites had been in, which God wanted to change, hear me, wasn't just a situation or problem of 2 years. You know, we fuss if something lasts more than 2 days, 2 hours, 2 minutes. This wasn't a situation that they suffered through a problem for 2 years or 5 years or 13, 14, 15 years, 20 years. Watch this. They had been in that situation or on that level for over 400 years. Can I teach in this house? What does that tell you, and what does that tell me? That tells us that there is no situation that God can't redeem or that God can't change. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't care what you've been going through. I don't care how long you've been dealing with it. With God, it is never too late to start afresh. God can give you and you and you and me a new beginning at any age and any stage. Listen, God can give the worst of situations a new start or a new beginning. So these were people that God had remembered, and he wanted to change their story, Keeling. He wanted to break every yoke that was keeping them in bondage in their lives, and he wanted to take them into their own promised land. Why? So they could have a new beginning. But watch this. Hear me. Because there were over 600,000 plus people that left Egypt for the promised land. Write down Exodus 12:37 when you got time. I'm teaching in this house. See, some stuff I just got to teach to lay the groundwork. There were over 600,000 people that left Egypt for the promised land. But watch this. Only actually a few entered into the promised land and actually experienced the new beginning. And now you got to go to Numbers 14, 21 through 24. So here's my prayer. My prayer for everybody hearing to the sound of my voice is that whatever will keep you and keep us from experiencing new, from experiencing a fresh anointing, that would keep us from experiencing a new beginning, that God will remove it right now from your life and mine in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is. Now, last week, we heard a lot about physical healing, but there's some financial blessings. There's some relational blessings. There's some emotional blessings that God wants to bestow on somebody, but something is blocking you from your blessing, and I need God to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. So when I think about the big picture, what is the number one hindrance? And this is the big one I'm going to make today, and we're going to finish it up on next week. And next week, I want my young people back too. I'll tell you why. Because one of the things I'm going to talk about next week that I won't mention today, I'm going to talk about associations. And associations will block us from the freshness and the anointing that God has for us. But today, I'm going to talk about the number one hindrance to a new beginning, or a number one hindrance to encountering the possibilities is this. Here it is. It should be on the screen, but write it down. It's the lack of available and willing vessels. The lack of available and willing vessels. In Exodus chapter 3, you can turn there. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, God shared his vision and his plan with Moses about the new beginning. He shared with Moses the new plan about the new beginning that he wanted to give to Israelites. But for this new beginning to actually be actualized, guess what? Moses had a part to play. Listen. The vision or dream of a new beginning would be nothing but a dream or mere talk until someone could step in and do what was mindful and necessary for the new beginning to become a reality. I say it again. I said the vision or dream of a new beginning would be nothing but a dream or mere talk until someone could step in and do what was mindful and necessary for the new beginning to become a reality. Listen, every new beginning, whether in our personal lives, our family, our church, even our nation, it requires a Moses. Now, before y'all all start looking at me, the Holy Spirit said, no, we need to look inside. Every new beginning, whether personal, in your family, your church, your community, your nation, requires a Moses. In other words, it requires people who are available and willing to pay a price that will bring about the new beginning. Talking about people who would do what is mindful and needful for there to be change. We want a great many things in our lives. We want great things in our personal lives. We want great things in our family lives. We want great things in our church. We want great things in our community, our nation. Watch this. But not enough people are ready to pay the price. Moses had a price he had to pay. What was the price? Here's just a couple. First of all, Sister Cargill, Moses had to confront and challenge a very hard and cruel ruler like Pharaoh. See, sometimes we succumb to a ruler inside of our minds that says, I don't want to change. Sometimes we succumb to our own selves that rules us that says, I ain't going to do that. But here's another thing. He also had to be willing, watch this, to face resistance and opposition from even the very people that he was sent out to help. Not everybody is going to receive your willingness to even stand in and in a session with graciousness. A new beginning or change isn't automatic. Something must be done for there to be a new beginning. Watch this. And somebody must be available and willing to do those things that will bring about the necessary change. The question is for everybody from the pulpit, from the door, is are you willing to be an available vessel? Are you a willing and an available vessel? Gotta ask myself the question, am I willing and am I available? Don't mark yourselves by your activity, because activity doesn't necessarily mean productivity. Amen. So we measure activity. And so we even tell ourselves how much we do. We even tell ourselves how far we do this or that. And God said, but yeah, but it's not productive, because you're doing some stuff I didn't tell you to do. You're taking on some stuff I didn't put on you. See, the scripture is true. God won't put more on you than you can bear, certainly with this strength, which means also tells me that there's some stuff we done put on ourselves. God said, I didn't put on you. There's some relationships we in. We asking God to bless. God said, I didn't send him to you. I didn't send her to you. I didn't send you down that path. I didn't tell you to take on that responsibility. When you get time, read the pastor's pen. There's some lists. We all got a to-do list. And if you're like me, my to-do list is so long that I need to build a to-done list. But God has said, no, King, you don't need to build a to-do list. Build a not-to-do list. Because you can't do everything. There's a not-to-do list, even when it comes to school. The problem is, the reason why sometimes we can't commit ourselves to studying is because we're doing everything else. We're busy doing so much other stuff. And God says, you busy, you active, but that's not productive. Same as for us too. So we talk about how busy we are in church. And some folks say, we so busy. But God says, when y'all going to get busy glorifying me? When you going to get busy winning souls? We say we want to be a willing vessel. But the question is, can you pay the price that's needed for you to make the change or bring about the new beginning? Listen. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? My question to you is, can you struggle your way through the crowd just to get to Jesus? See, we sit and listen to stories, and it becomes a good Bible story, but there's no life application. My question to you is, can you struggle your way through the crowd just to get to Jesus, just so you can touch the hem of the garment? Why? Because you need to be healed. You need to have a fresh anointing. You need something to come over your life. Jesus was ministering on that day, this woman received her healing. But here's the problem. Here's the thing about that text. There were so many other people there like her who needed a touch, who needed a new beginning. And all they needed to do was reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And they would receive what they stood in need of. But I imagine, using my sanctified imagination, that there were probably some people in the crowd who said, I don't have time and I don't have the patience to deal with all them folk. I don't have time and I don't have patience to deal with a crowd. You got some folk that say, I'm just not a big crowd person. Amen. There's some folk who deliberately stay away from church on Easter and Christmas because they say it's going to be too many folk there. Amen. Oh, I know I'm right about it. I imagine that some people on that day would have said, listen, again, I just don't need to be bothered with all of that because, quote unquote, it don't take all that. Watch this. They were expecting a new beginning, but they didn't want to try and encounter the possibility. Not only did the woman with the issue of blood have to pass through a large crowd to get to Jesus so she can get a new beginning, watch this, she had to do something that wasn't convenient or wasn't comfortable. See, I've been getting hit with that lately. You ready to do something that's not convenient and not comfortable? This woman was bleeding on that day. Look it up in Mark. It's in Mark. She was bleeding on that day. This was not a comfortable situation. It wasn't comfortable and it wasn't convenient, watch this, for her to leave her house that day in the condition that she was in. I mean, think about it. If you're like me, I think about this kind of stuff. It would have been so much easier for her to just sit at home on that day and pray for a miracle. Matter of fact, if you got cable, you might even sent your money in and got the water. Somebody on cable is selling miracle water. I know I'm right about it. I need to shut my cable off just for that, Greg. But it would have been just, people do that. They stay home, and instead of putting forth the effort, they just want to sit at home and pray for the miracle. But she went out of her comfort zone. If you're taking notes, write this down. A new beginning or the necessary change that God wants in your life is going to require you getting out of your comfort zone to do something that's not so convenient and not so comfortable. In other words, you might have to do something you've never done to get something you've never had. It wasn't comfortable for her, but I still contend it wasn't comfortable for Moses or Pharaoh or Aaron either to keep going to Pharaoh. They kept performing wonder after wonder after wonder before Pharaoh. And sometimes we say that, listen, we keep doing all of this and all of this, and these folks still aren't receiving it. Pharaoh didn't either. Pharaoh wasn't impressed. They kept doing miracle after miracle, and Pharaoh still didn't let those people go. They went through all of that with Pharaoh. Why? Simply because they were willing and available vessels. So what do you think, man of God? What do you think, woman of God? What do you think, child of God? Can we pay the price of the quantity and the quality of praise, the quantity and the quality of worship, the quantity and the quality of prayer and evangelism and visitation, discipleship, financial commitment, etc., etc.? All of those necessary sacrifices that are needed for the church to not only grow and expand, but to continue being impactful and influential for the kingdom. Truth of the matter is this. What a lot of people are expecting God to do is magic, not a miracle. What a lot of people are expecting God to do is magic and not a miracle. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, I say, for instance, there are a whole lot of people who don't invite people, who don't tell people about their church. A lot of people don't invite people to their church. There are days that not enough people are living their Christian lives at home or work or school that would even attract people to church. Yet there are people who say, we want our church to grow. Listen, it's magic that we can fill it with anything being done without anything being done by anybody. In other words, there are going to be people who set resolutions on this year who say, I got to lose weight. I got to eat better. I got to get healthier. But we keep saying it, and we ain't changed our diet. And we still hadn't got up at that gym. And you need to quit sending that automatic payment to the gym because you ain't been. So all of a sudden, we got to lose weight. We got to get healthier. We got to get our blood pressure down. We got to get our cholesterol down. But we have not made any change. That's magic. Not a miracle. Amen. It's when you start doing things right. When you start listening to the doctor. When you start doing it. And then all of a sudden God says, listen, you don't have to worry about trying to get a kidney any longer. Come on, somebody. I'm working with you the way you're working with yourself. Y'all just missed a moment of praise. Come on, somebody. Moses would never have known what great things God could use him to do if he just continued to sit down with his father-in-law tending flock. It was by surrendering himself to God and being available and willing that he saw God move in a mighty way. Oh, we want a mighty move of God in our church, in our city, in our community. We want it in our lives. And I'm here to tell you that it begins with surrendering to God, but it also is sustained by holiness. And it will become available when we make ourselves available and willing vessels to be used by God. So I'm going to close on today, but I'm going to close today simply telling you this, to my young people, to all of us, don't put off living to someday in the future. Live now. Enjoy this life now that God has given us. Amen. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your loved ones. Enjoy your brothers and sisters in Christ. Encounter the possibilities every day. There is a contagious enthusiasm in the way that we are to live our lives in Christ. When someone is excited about life, others around them tend to get excited. Life becomes infectiously joyful, filled with hope. I didn't say it was a perfect life. We're not perfect people. But our lives can be full of joy, full of the joy of the Lord. I don't know what you have in expectation for 2019. I talked to somebody, not here, but I talked to somebody even on my job, and they were already sick of the new year. And I said, my God, it just started. I went to the office on Wednesday. That was January, what, the 2nd? And on Thursday is when I ran into that person. I said, my God, you mean to tell me that you couldn't wait for 2018 to end, and now you said I can't wait for 2019 to end? Here's the problem. The problem is it doesn't take long for the devil to creep in and steal our joy. And when I think about my young people, and they'll continue on, I want them to hear this, and I want them to hear next week, and I want them to build on what they want to do through the aid of the Holy Spirit. Because we got to make sure that we're encouraging them and we're encouraging one another. Because if we expect change, but we're not changing, then we've set ourselves up to fail. And we got to make sure that we want the change that we're asking for, but we want the change that God wants for us. Because even when it comes to asking God what it is that we want and need, the Holy Spirit makes intercession. And he's the one. I don't know about you. I don't care how lengthy your prayers are. There's still some stuff that you have not had sense enough to ask for that God says, I will provide. Even before you ask, or even though you haven't asked. And for somebody else, you're afraid to ask because you feel like I'm not worthy. Well, none of us are worthy of God's blessings. But don't ever think that God doesn't want to bless you. Don't ever think that God doesn't care for you. Don't ever think that God doesn't love you. And God is not committing child abuse just because you're sick and somebody else isn't. God is about his glory. God can bring you out of some stuff that your over-the-counter or your prescriptions won't be able to do. But don't put God on the spot trying to ask for magic when God says, I can perform a miracle. So do me a favor. If you need to take your medication, take it. If you need to make sure that you got your prescriptions, make sure you got them. Heard the testimony last Sunday. And you thank God when he gives you the ability to get and have what you need, even when you think, I can't afford it. I'm not telling you, however, that your life won't have sorrows and that you won't have struggles. Matter of fact, the word of God says we're going to have troubles. But every day we can encounter the possibility. Matter of fact, we can have 365 days of possibilities. How do I know? Because the word of God says, for I'm about to do something new. He says, see, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry waste land. Watch closely. I'm preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak. And you are about to see it. I am preparing a way through the desert. Waters will flow where there had been none. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.